We are the Taylors, Ron, Susan, Noah, and Allison, your missionaries to New York City.
It's been 14 years now since God's placed the burden in our hearts to plant 5 churches in each of the 5 boroughs of New York City.
In a short period of time, we've witnessed God do the miraculous and impossible. From having a church in our home, to seeing God build His church in Brooklyn, helping us build teams and passing that work off to them, ministering through a hurricane, and seeing Him open doors that seemed unopenable over and over again in the current work that we're at Rockaway Beach Baptist Church. We have taken the last several years to concentrate our efforts developing people through outreach and discipleship, and then helping them build community through small groups. But along the way, also using the resources God has given us to build prospects in new areas for new works. Through your faithful missions giving, events like these will produce prospects for us to lead to Christ through one-on-one discipleship, which will open the door for us to invite them into home-based Bible studies to learn the Word, and eventually form a church full of people that have been transformed by the power of God.
Hi, my name is Thomas Campadona.
My name is Jessica Rivera.
My name is Yolanda Thompson.
My name is Diane Waring.
My name is Joanna Carrasco.
My name is Lisa Pacheco.
I'm going to stop and say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for choosing to get involved in mission.
We recognize it wasn't the easiest thing to do.
And we know you gave to the Lord.
And because you gave, I am a life that's been changed.
Changed.
Because you gave, my life has been changed here in New York. So thank you.
Overcoming financial, cultural, and language barriers in New York can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit, the prayers of His people, a willing vessel to be used, and resources that your missions giving can supply. We are unashamedly asking for your continued partnership in the mission that we've all been called to. Will you pray? Pray for open doors and focus for our teammates here in New York City. Will you give? Give to your local church's missions program to support our work and other missions projects around the world. Or could you go? Go and be an evangelist at home. Find the heartbeat of God. Getting involved in evangelism and discipleship in your church, or coming on a missions trip here in New York City, can help you be a greater part of the bigger mission.
Yelling away. Hey, look. You know, they give instructions to a guy and he just doesn't listen to him. I was supposed to flick that on. Sorry about that, guys. But I am glad that my wife and my daughter are here with me. There's somebody, they snuck in back there with their coffee, I think, a minute ago. So, last time we were with you, my daughter was so tiny. She was a little one, you know. I think it was 14 years. I mean, you took us on deputation, so 14 years ago. We left from, I'm going to embarrass the snot out of her, I'm sorry. We left from here. She had imaginary puppies she used to take with her to places. We literally got out on I-4. We were getting ready to go down to Orlando, and she started screaming in the back seat. She left her puppies here. Listen, we're going to have to leave the puppies. You know what I mean? It's just not going to work for us. But she wasn't having it. You know what I'm saying? And if you got little ones, you know she wasn't having it. And so, geniusly, I tried to make something up, and in the rearview mirror, I said, "Those puppies are following us." Like, and so I whipped off on the side of the road, and I opened the door and said, "Get in, guys, get in." And they all got in, and she was just as happy as could be. So we just kept going, you know, which was great. So, but it's been a long time since we've been here. And I got to tell you, I'm excited that even through all the things that you guys are going through, I've been walking through some of your neighborhoods and looking at some things. God bless you for all the, I mean, Hurricane Sandy hit New York, and I know a little bit about hurricane disaster. And so if you've been hit with that, our hearts go out to you for sure. Prayers go with you. I know that your pastor, God is moving him to a new location and doing something good in his life, and I'm excited about that, bro. And I think your church people are excited, too. It's one of those days where they hold their breath for a minute and go, what's next? But they're excited about the new page that's taking place, and so I feel kind of weird today speaking because I don't know exactly what's going on. And on the way here, my wife reminded me. She said, you know, there's such a missions-minded church that they'd have missionaries come in on a day when there may be some things that are unsettled. And so I don't know if we can be an encouragement to you today, but we want to be, you know. Your missions dollars have done so much in New York. And over the last couple of years, we've been trying to think through what God could do and how he could work. 2020 was crazy for us in New York City. We literally shut down for a year and a half. We were locked up. And so I don't know, I don't have a clicker, so I'm just going to point, if that's all right, guys, we can just do that. But we started an organization called Connect NYC. It's to help urban church planters begin to start planting churches in urban areas, obviously. But it's different in an urban area than it is in a rural setting. There's a lot of people that probably have heard of or know about Jesus in a rural setting because there are a lot of churches that give the gospel. But in urban settings, it becomes a little bit different. So we try to make one-on-one relationships with people. We coach them into small groups, and we give those small groups a little bit of power into their lives because we can't be facility dependent. This facility is beautiful. Praise God for that, you know what I mean? But we go into the South, and I think to myself, man, if we had half of that facility, it would be awesome. We rent a 2,000-square-foot auditorium for us that is very multifunctional. It costs us about $3,500 a month, and so you just got to be, multipurposed in every way. And so what we found is that we've had people started to come to New York, and we want to help them plant churches there because we've been there for a little while now. We're kind of figuring some things out in some small way. We do have a big, hairy, audacious goal, and it is to plant 5 churches in each of the 5 boroughs. And if you know math, that is, see, Larry Luffman told me you guys couldn't add down here, but I knew better, right? 25 churches. And so to do that, you got to have a pretty good sized team together to make things happen. And so we've been seeing a lot of people come our way. How many of you have been to New York City? Oh, a few of you. That's good. Probably most of you from New York. So how many of you from New York? I always find you New Yorkers in the crowd, all right? But New York is made up of 5 boroughs. And just if you can give them a quick look there, it's about 9.5 million people that live in the city now. That little island of Manhattan swells to about 24 million people every day because people come in and out of the city and get going with things. We have a great team that's together. I'm going to try to be quick with this. We got a really good team that's together, and God's been doing some great things. I just want to share with you one story from a teammate that I have, Elvis Leon. Elvis literally stumbled into Redeeming Grace, which was our first church work there in Brooklyn. And one of my deacons led him to Christ, and he began to start catching a bug for what we were doing and got really excited about it. God put in his heart to go off to Bible college to surrender to ministry. He has since come back, joined our team. He lived with us for a while because his dad was a raging alcoholic, and he had some really tough times with that. But this is a picture of Elvis. He is our pastor at Beach Church now. We have passed that work off to him. And that's his dad standing next to him. Isn't that great? His dad's serving alongside of him. So praise God. Listen, and you're clapping, but that's what your missions dollars have gone to. Isn't that great? It's fantastic to see what God can do. Now, we've been out on the road for the last, we've been out on the road. We've been back in New York City, but from January to about March, we started raising some support for the third church work that we've got in Rego Park. And
praise God, in like 3 months, we put 98% of that support together. I mean, God's good to us, you know? And so I'm so thankful for that. We tried to raise $120,000 because we believe it should be the onus on the church plant to begin to start giving to their own church. Amen? Yeah. And so just if you're wondering where that breaks down, this is kind of where the dollars all go to the first year that's there. We want them to be missions ready, so we give 10% to that. And then we try to give 35% to the building, which to find a building at 35% in New York City is a miracle, and God has done that. We are rent-free until April in our Rego Park plant. Isn't that cool? I mean, God's really good. Yeah. You have to excuse me. I have been a youth pastor for many years, and then I have a bit of a tendency to just get very comfortable up here, so we're going to go with it. All right. Ministry goes 20%, and then we got 35% that tries to go to staff. And so God's been really good to us. We've raised all that support, but I wanted to ask you to do me a quick favor, all right? If you've got a smartphone, I don't have cards or any of that kind of stuff. If you got a smartphone, take it out for just a second, okay? Smartphones. If you don't know what that is, you don't have to do anything, I promise, okay? Smartphone. If you got a smartphone, there's a QR code. If you got your camera, real quickly, if you'll just hit that QR code, you can go to our website and find out everything that we do. The one-on-one discipleship, all the materials are there. You can go and check out all the small groups we try to build and what we do with those. If you kind of go through there, you'll notice there's a button that's there all the time that says donate. If you're so inclined, we would appreciate that. Obviously, you can give through the church, and you guys have been great to us. So God, thank God for this church and your giving and how good you've been to us. We appreciate you. So I'm not asking for a dime today. I'm just telling you, if you want to check out what we're doing and what New York has meant to me and what God has done through you, you can check out that website, connectnyc.net, all right? If you got a Bible today, you can turn it to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. If you don't have a Bible today, all the words are on the screen, and I kind of went old school on you. I've got the King James Version today, so if you've got a different version, that's okay, all right? We're just going to walk through this together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and I really just kind of want to give you a thought today that God's put on my heart, if you'll allow me to do that. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, what's the next word there? Come on, I know three of you are listening, but how about the rest of you, all right? It says, if you then be risen with Christ, what's it say? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and then it says what? Yeah, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I like this passage. Let me pray real quickly, can I? Father, we love you. I pray now that you'd help your word to go forward. God, give me the opportunity to speak freely today. We love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you we have been around the country, and we have been. We've been, I feel like Johnny Cash, you know, I've been everywhere, you know. We went to New York and Georgia and Florida, and those 3 months we were just like every Sunday, every Wednesday, anytime I could drink coffee with somebody, we were talking to people. And I love the church, and the churches we went to were fantastic. Most of them supported us already. We picked up a few new supporters that were going along the way. But I got to tell you, there's something that I found outside of the bubble of New York City that's kind of disturbing to me, and I just want to share it with you because you're probably already walking through it. And it's this. I'm finding that young people, over and over again, are starting to what they call deconstruct their faith. Are you with me? They're choosing to find something that's happening in the Bible that they agree with, and then things that they don't agree with, and they're taking those things on and deciding, I'm just going to go with the things that I agree with. I don't necessarily like to go to church too much, so I'm just going to not go as often, or maybe not go at all. You with me? Now, here's the thing. I said that, and those of you who have sat here for a long time and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have probably cringed inside and said, that generation of heathens, right? You're already, I see you. You're already doing it. And the churches we've been in, let me just say this. We have been into churches that know what they believe and why they believe it, and they're standing on the Word of God. The church is not broken. That's a good time for you to say amen. Let me say it one more time. The church is not broken, by the way. This is God's design. It's a beautiful thing. But what I do feel like, there is some kind of a disconnect, isn't there? And something is broken. And the more I've prayed, the more I've asked God to give me a finger position on what's happening, because the Bible Belt really is kind of one of those trickle-down things. See, everything we do in New York City trickles down to the country, generally. But it reverses in spiritual warfare.
It seems like there's a lot of good things that happen here in the Bible Belt. Are you with me? And it generally comes up our way at some point. So I'm always trying to stay ahead of the curve and see where our young people are going to be, because I want them to be engaged in everything that's going on. And what I'm finding is that we're starting to deconstruct the faith more and more with people who have known Jesus Christ for a really long time. And on one end of the spectrum, you've got kids who are deconstructing their faith. I say kids, they're 20-somethings. But then on the other end of things, you've got people who have known the Lord and love the Lord and are standing on God's word and are kind of doing this a lot to those that are walking away. I just want to share this with you, all right? I believe that Paul had something for the church at Corinth where he said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, by the way, he's being facetious here, isn't he? He says, and I have not, what's the word?
Charity.
Or love. Then I don't have anything. Now listen, I know standing up for what you believe in sometimes comes off aggressive and it comes off offensive, and we can say all the things that you want to say that are going on in your mind right now, right? Because the Word of God is offensive. Jesus Christ is offensive in some ways. You with me? I'm talking about something else that's happening, where good, God-fearing people are starting to speak their hearts and minds on Twitter or Facebook. Yeah? And when you read it, you think, man, where's the love with this? And this may step on a lot of toes, and I don't mean to, all right? But I know this. A lot of times we talk about politics, and I'm not trying to be political, pastor, so don't. But we talk about politics, but, you know, we talk about how that we don't want foreigners to come here, and we want to put walls up and all of a sudden. And I'm not trying to be Democrat or Republican. I'm just saying, when the world starts coming to us and we're more focused on what happens with the jobs and the money we make other than giving them the gospel, something may be wrong. You with me? And so I'm just seeing something that's maybe off, and it reminds me of what happened at, remember when John wrote to the church at Ephesus in Revelation? He said, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He's talking about himself, Jesus. And he says, I know your works, and your labor and your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil, and you've tried them, and you say they're apostles and they're not, and you found them liars. In other words, you've stood on God's word. And then he goes on and says, you've borne and you have patience, and for my name's sake you've labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you did what? See, when I start getting in my own heart where I'm not as friendly with the people around me or not as helpful with the people around me as a Christian, I recognize a lot of times what's happening with me is that I'm walking away from the one who has given me love to begin with, and I'm starting to leave my first love. Are you with me today? And my fear as a church, as the church, is that we're putting our minds on things that maybe aren't set above or seeking after, and we've put our minds on things to help ourselves on this earth, and we may have lost our first love. And so I wanted to today, for just a second, say this to you. I know most Christians that I know would say they fear God. Most Christians I know say they would revere him, and they would obey him, and they would serve him. But the question really is, do you love him, right? Do we love him? Now, I love the verses said this. They didn't say you lost your first love. They said you did what? Yeah. If I lose something, there's nothing to it. I can't come back to it, right? But if I've left it somewhere, I know that I can get back to it. I know there's something that I can walk back to and get to. If you want to help me out, guys, a little quicker here. Yep. I know A.W. Tozer says, sorry, my notes are all on the screen because I have ADD and I can't stand behind a platform, all right? So A.W. Tozer said this a long time ago. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, check this out, 95% of what we would go on, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. Then he said this, if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop. And everybody would know the difference, right? What happened to the passion?
when the psalmist wrote things like this: restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. What happened when, like in Psalm 42, where he says, as the hart or as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee, right? What happened with this thought of my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God? And when shall I come and appear before God? I guess I'm thinking through the Bible and I'm seeing all of these men who were sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, who said that I may know him, right? All that I could know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformable unto his death. Technology. And maybe it has to start with us just doing this. Maybe it has to start with us saying, hey, God, I need to thirst to be more thirsty. I'm thirsting to be more thirsty. I'm hungering to be more hungry. I don't know where you're at or where you sit today, but I know with a lot of things that are going on in your life, as I look at these verses, and I just want to very quickly go back to that Colossians 3 verse. God is speaking to you and I as Christians. Now, you may have come here tonight and, or today and don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to probably or try to reconcile that for just a moment. But he says, if you then be risen with Christ. In other words, he's talking to believers, isn't he? And I know this. God has done so many miraculous things in this old boy's life that I'm probably sitting in front of a lot of people who have had the same thing happen. And as you start looking back and thinking, yeah, you know what? If I've been risen with Christ, if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, the least that I could do is seek after him, is set my affections. I got saved right after I went to jail for selling drugs. Stupid. We're all kids, though. We do stupid stuff, don't we? I would have never in a million years sitting in jail thought that some 25 years later, I'd be standing here in Daytona preaching, having had planted two churches in New York and about to start the third. But God does things with lives who are just surrendered to him. Amen? And this is a church full of people who are surrendered to him. You love the Lord. I know you do. You love young people. You want to see good things happen in God's church. My friend Mark Trotter wrote a book called Things Above. He says, think about the incredible power that God unleashed when he reached into the tomb on the first day of the week and raised Christ from the dead. The most incredible power in the entire universe. And then he goes on to say, the very power of Almighty God. That, my friend, is the same incredible power in all of its fullness that God himself unleashed on the day that we call upon his name and reached down into the tomb of our lives and raised us up from the dead. Man, he dusted us off and made us clean and gave us a new purpose. And what this author is telling us in Colossians is just this. He's saying, listen, if that's you, we got to start setting our head somewhere else. Now, here's what I don't like. Paul, very educated man, I don't understand. You can go back if you don't mind. What I don't understand is that he wrote this like a third grader, you know? I mean, as you read through this, it just says, seek those what? Things which are above. Set your affections on what? Things above. And it sounds like something I would have written in sixth grade, you know what I mean? Like things and stuff, you know? I mean, as you walk through it, you're like, what are these things? I mean, I don't even know what the things are. And as you start kind of breaking all of what he's saying down, he doesn't give you any of those things. So I just kind of went on my own little mad dash through scripture finding things. And you start thinking about positive things and negative things, and he starts lumping them into two categories, doesn't he? He gives us the heavenly things that are positive, and the negative things that are earthly. And it kind of sums itself up in Matthew. Matthew says this. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through or steal. And I told you as a youth pastor, well, man, if I could preach this message, I want to, okay? And it would just be this. It would just be moth equals clothes, rust equals cars, you with me? Just to have another C, Thieves break through cribs. All right, this is where you live, your cribs. I don't know. I tried. All right. But you think about it, though, it's kind of wild. The American dream is that we would work really hard, pile a little bit of money together, have some nice clothes, get us a plot of land for a nice house, have a couple of cars in the driveway. And what he just said was, if you want to live your life that way, you can. But that's the things of this earth. There are things above that we're supposed to set our affections on. There are things above we're supposed to seek after, right, with all of our hearts. And so what are the things in heaven? I just want to give you four of them real quickly. Can I do that? John says it this way. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says, there are three that bear record. What's the word? I've always been the fastest kid in the slow class. You know what I'm saying? So all I did was look up in heaven, found it in the Bible, right? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. What I see from that is this, is that we need to seek after the person of God. I know this church hasn't done that because I've already talked to four or five of you before service started, and each one of you said something about Pastor Dan that was fantastic. He's a great guy. And then they turned around from that and said, we know God's got something good for us. We just missed to see him go. Man, I thank God for that. That's somebody who's not seeking after a pastor, but is seeking after the person of God. And I know it's a little unsettling sometimes, and I know it's a little tough sometimes. As a church planter, I pass churches off. Believe me, on the other end, it's a little unsettling too, isn't it? Yeah? And you wonder about what's going to happen, but man, we need Christians who would just seek after the person of God, who would love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And so the things that are in heaven there are pretty simple for us. When he stops and talks to us, he says, if you're saved, it's because God sought after you and he bought you with a price. And because of that, he's saying, I'm hoping that you, as being saved, would seek after him. Sometimes we stop, though, for a moment in seasons of life, don't we, as Christians? And we say, I don't know, I used to be closer to God than I am right now. And maybe you've come today, and unfortunately, as a Christian, you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you're only seeking after the things of this earth. You'd make all your decisions strained upon what job that you have or where you're going. Not necessarily based upon what God is doing in your life. And if that's us, listen, Christians, we need you. As somebody who's on the field, I need you. And we need to start setting our heads somewhere else, right? I also see that all the way through Scripture, this is the theme. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says that we should love the Lord our God with and with and with and with all our strength, right? And then he said, this is the first commandment. I not only see that we should seek after the person of God, but we should seek after the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible says this. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is what settled in heaven. Again, just looking through things that are in heaven already. And what I think is crazy about Scripture is this, is that the name of God is set on such a high pedestal. As a matter of fact, those that would write down Scripture would take a bath and have a whole ritual they would go through before they would write Yahweh out, before they would write down the name of God, right? And Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5 says that it is exalted above all, his name. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, this is the Ron Taylor version, by the way. I'm just giving you quick thoughts, all right? But it says that that above every name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess at Jesus Christ our Lord. In Acts 4, 12, it says, none other name under heaven whereby you must be what? And then if you've ever seen this verse, it's kind of wild. At the end of it, in Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, it says, for thou hast magnified what? Above all thy name. Man, this word that we have that is God's word is not just some basic instructions for believers while living on earth. You ever seen that Bible acrostic or whatever? It's not just that. This is the God of the universe that speaks to you and I. And you know what?
right.
To scratch out 5 or 10 minutes a day seems so unworthy, doesn't it? But it's the least we could do in spending time and running after God with all our hearts. I would say most people here would say this. I do study my Bible for a habit. I'm in a habit of, so I check the box every single day, right? Or maybe I teach a lesson, and so I study for that. And so I memorize for the power that God gives me over food, which is what I need to start doing, by the way. Amen? Or I need to start running with you. Don't you run? Phew, man. Pastor Dan has more hair than me, and he's skinnier. It's disgusting, all right? You'd say, I meditate, you know, I meditate for my emotions so that I can be emotionally stable. And the thing is this, is I think most Christians decidedly live their lives for Christ when that's not the way it's ever supposed to be. The Holy Spirit's supposed to live through us. That's the way God's entitled or given us the opportunities. He comes inside, he lives inside of you, and he lives, works through you, right? We reach after God's word. I also see that we seek the throne of God. Now, I love the worship team that we had today. Man, they do a great job, by the way. You guys are blessed here, right? I know a couple of things about heaven. I'm going to go quick here, guys. There's a throne, obviously, in heaven, right? Ezekiel talks about that. Isaiah talks a lot about that throne. I'm going to go to this next one, which is Revelation chapter 4, which we get a very descriptive thought from John's perspective, where he sees the throne of God and all the things are there, and all of them tie together with one big word that happens at the throne of God, which is, man, it's worship, right? And so many little things that happen here on this earth that we should worship God for and be thankful that he's given us. And so I see not only a person that we should be seeking. You can keep going. I see not only a person we should be seeking or a word that we should be seeking or the throne that's there that we should be seeking, but I also see the family of God. We should seek after one another's fellowship to love one another, right? That's kind of where I started. I feel like most, and I really have a heart for not just teens, but like 20-somethings. I feel like most of these guys that have come to church all of their lives have unfortunately found themselves in a place where now they've got questions because of things that have happened, and most of that happens from church people. You guys have the shush lady here? You know what I'm talking about? When I was a kid, I didn't get saved until I was 21. When I was a kid, though, my mom and dad would drag me to church, and the shush lady always found me. Shh. You know? Man, what's wrong with you? You know? Like, even if it was just a legitimate thing, I'd be asking, you know, hey, what did he just say? Shh. You know? Like, wow. What is going on with you? This, it happens, doesn't it? You ever been to the restaurant? You can spot the church lady, the shush lady at the restaurant, too. You walk by and you're like, well, she shushes people. Yeah, I know that, you know? Like, Ephesians 3, 14 and 15 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, what? Amen. And earth is named. Last thought, promise. God's given you a gift to minister that gift to the people that are in this family, but then also minister that gift to those who he intends to be in our family. We got to set our affections on something else. We got to seek after something different. And we need you as missionaries. We need good, solid churches that are doing that. Your prayer means everything to us. Everything. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. Let's pray.